encouragement and to again declare that nothing is impossible with God. Amen. That we can agree with the Word of God that says nothing is impossible. You know, when we read the story, where that scripture comes from is in Luke 1, and it's the story, actually, it's the story with when Gabriel came to Mary and said that she was going to bore the Son of God, and how, you know, she was going, how can God do this? I mean, when you think about the virgin birth, how impossible is that, right? And so when he came, he said that this child born to you will be holy and he will be called the Son of God. And then, you know, he talked about, Gabriel talked about, what's more, your aged aunt Elizabeth also has become pregnant with a son. The barren one is now in her sixth month. So it goes on to say, in my translation of the word, in the Passion Translation, it says, not one promise from God is empty of power, for nothing is impossible with God. Amen. Can we enter into that this morning? We talked about that God does great things. We've heard of the testimonies that Deb gave, that there is no situation that is without hope. Like I said before, if we don't have hope, we don't have the gospel. And there is nothing impossible. When we go to God, he hears our cry, and we know his promises, that he's faithful and true. His promises are yes and amen. So how do we receive that? You know, it's already done. It's a finished thing on the cross, right? A finished work. But how do we receive that? That we take his word for what he said, and we believe it is true. Amen? And so we receive it in our hearts. You know, humility is something that we humble ourselves before God, and we just declare that he is righteous, that he is God, and we are not, right? And it's just the humility of just knowing that God is great and greatly to be praised, and our hearts are humble. But our heart needs to become like tender soil for the Word of God. It needs to become that soil that when the seed comes, it will nurture the seed, which is the seed of faith, right? We talked about faith last week. You know, we see that faith is like a seed, like in the Word. And so, you know, when we think about our hearts, it's like the soil for the Word to come. Because the soil is important. You know, when we do planting, right? Soil is important. Sunlight is important. Water is important. But none of that contains the power. The power is in the seed. The power that produces is in the seed, which is the Word of God. Amen? And so we know that our heart needs to be conditioned, you know, in that soft place, that yielding place, to just receive what the Spirit of the Lord is saying through his Word. So the Word of God is so important. And, you know, Jesus showed us how important his message was. His message was the kingdom of God. Amen? He talked about the kingdom of God throughout the Word. As you see, there's so many scriptures about the kingdom of God. But what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is God's dominion, his rule, his royalty. And as we enter into the kingdom of God, we understand what that means, that the kingdom of God is precious. You know, Jesus taught, even to the last minute, when he died and he rose, and then he began to minister to the disciples in after he rose from the dead, and he was still preaching the kingdom of God. It says in Acts 1, he taught about the truth of God's kingdom. So the kingdom of God is so important to the Lord, and it should be to us too as we enter into that kingdom. So in Matthew 4:17, it says this, From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." In some translation, it reads, "has come near." And so repent means to change how you think. And Jesus said, repent and change the way you think, because he brought a new world, a different world than what we've known. Amen? He brought the kingdom of heaven and what that all stands for. And so it's about changing our perception of what reality is, and that we can coexist with the superiority and the superior reality called the kingdom of God. And so that we need to enter into that. So, you know, the kingdom of God, it says so much about that. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, which means it's in reach. It's here and it's now. You know, I used to think that early on as a Christian, I had to pray that I would enter into the kingdom, or I thought that I entered the kingdom after I died. But the kingdom of God is here and right now. Amen? So it's faith to believe in the power of what the kingdom of God stands for. The kingdom is God's domain. Kingdom, right? And so in the power of who he is and for his kingdom, which we are a part of, the unshakable kingdom, come on. We see the earth quaking. We see the nations raging. We see a lot of things happen in this world, and it can be unnerving, and we can enter in uncertainty. But with the kingdom of God, it's unshakable. We sang that this morning, that he is unshakable. And as we enter into the kingdom of God, as we enter into his lordship, his kingdom, that we don't have to worry or be concerned, because he has an unshakable kingdom. So what is the currency of the kingdom? The currency of the kingdom is faith. Faith is a superior reality. You know, faith is knowing, but it's knowing on a different level. You know, faith is actually superior to common knowledge. You know, it's just, you know, faith is getting the heart of God. Faith is revelation knowledge. And, you know, it's so important that we enter into faith, that it doesn't come, though, from our minds. It comes from our hearts, right? Because in Romans 10, 9 and 10, remember when you were a Christian, when you first became born again, when you first accepted Jesus as your Savior, this was one of the top scriptures I remember having to learn, that if we confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And then in verse 10 it says, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So it's with the heart we believe. It's so important to understand with the heart. You know, we can say we know God, we can know about God, but there's such a difference between receiving him as our Lord and Savior and to really know him. I grew up in a main denomination, and I heard all about God, but I didn't know I could have a personal relationship with him. And that's what Jesus died for. He didn't die for us just to know him as a figurehead or a historical figure. He died so we could have a personal relationship with him. And that's what he died for us to have, that we can enter into that relationship with him, that we can know his kingdom. I love that we sang a lot of songs about kingdom today, didn't we? Because his kingdom, that is a prayer, right? Some of us, we know the Our Father, you know, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We recite that, but it's really a model. It's not just a repetitive prayer, but it's more like a model that we recognize he's our Father, and that we can pray, "Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." That's a bold apostolic prayer that we can pray, because Jesus said, "When you pray, pray this." And so we can enter into the power of that prayer, that we can believe those things and pray those things, because he said we could. And so we need to enter into that, right? We need to understand kingdom. We need to understand and have faith that God's kingdom is the ruling force in the world today as we are in his kingdom. So faith comes from the heart, but the renewed mind creates the context for faith, much like a banks of a river to flow. So the renewed mind coordinates with faith. You know, our mind is renewed. I think differently than before I was a Christian. How about you? Didn't your mind get renewed? Didn't you think differently about God? Didn't you think differently about his ways? Didn't you, you know, see, like, all of a sudden your eyes were open to a lot of things? You know, our mind is renewed, and it's renewed by the Word of God, by hearing the Word of God. How important the Word of God is for us, because it is transforming power. It's spirit. The words of Christ are spirit. This Bible is spirit. It's not just print on paper. These are the words of Jesus Christ. They carry power, transforming power. And I've read it. You know, I wanted to know the Word of God. And even when I was first a Christian, and I thought, how am I going to read this whole huge, thick Bible? It was intimidating, right? I don't know if anybody else felt that way. And it's just like, how can I know you, God? I want to know you. I want to read this, but how can I understand this? But we have the wonderful Holy Spirit that comes and directs us and shows us and highlights things and helps us grow in our faith and our love for God. And so we see great faith demonstrated in the Bible. One of my favorite stories is when the centurion went to Jesus and asked. He was a Gentile. He wasn't Jewish. He wasn't like of the kingdom, right? I mean, he went to Jesus though because he heard he could heal, and so he came and he asked Jesus to heal his servant who was sick and paralyzed. And so I love the story when he says that he would go to his house, but then he said, well, I'm not worthy that you come, but only speak the word. Only speak the word and my servant shall be healed. What great faith he had. Can we have faith like that right now to just simply believe and receive what God has told us, what God has spoken in his word? And so, you know, it's an awesome thing that Jesus recognized that extraordinary faith, and where it came from was one of the places that you would not think, you know, from a centurion, but it was revealed to Jesus' understanding, and he understood that this was an extraordinary faith. In fact, he said, no one in Israel has this kind of faith. Wow. I mean, because he simply said, just speak the word. You know, sometimes we need to say to the Lord, just speak the word to me, Lord. I'm listening. Just speak the word. You know, God is speaking today, right? He speaks to us today, and he's helping us. He's guiding us. He's directing us. He's reassuring us of the great salvation that we have, the great love he has for us. So it's really about knowing him and his kingdom, because every kingdom has a king. So we need to know who our king is, who is King Jesus, right? And so in Matthew 6:33, a scripture that we're very familiar with, where it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So often we try to get things when maybe if we just seek God and seek his kingdom, then everything else will be added unto you. That's what this word says. There's a protocol and priorities in the kingdom. And we cannot have a kingdom without a king, right? And who is that king? It's Jesus. You know, it's interesting. Some people don't want a king. Some people don't want to come under the lordship of Jesus Christ. But it's the best thing I ever did. I'll tell you, I know more people who are sorry they disobey God than there are people that are sorry they obey God, right? And it's just like when you come under that lordship, there's a security, there's a love, and there's a peace, because that's what the kingdom of God is about. So the kingdom is about his domain, his rule, but it's also a place of freedom. You know, it's interesting how people think that coming into the kingdom of God is restrictive. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to line up. I mean, it comes with like so many rules and all that. I mean, that's the spirit of religion. That is not what God wants. God wants us to see that he loves us, that when we're under his reign, his freedom, his kingdom is about our freedom. Because it says in 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So wherever the Holy Spirit is demonstrating the lordship of Jesus, freedom is evident. Come on. 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty and freedom. We forget, we actually come into freedom. We were bound up. I can honestly say my life before Christ, that's how I was. I was bound up and I was not living a free life. I was under bondage to the enemy. Come on. That's the way it really was. But when we accept Christ, it's a freedom that comes, that he frees us from that. We've come under the lordship of Jesus Christ, and we understand, we see, we feel the freedom of all those bonds breaking off of us. You know, sometimes I speak at Teen Challenge, which is a drug and rehab place, and they have been bound by drugs and alcohol. But they are coming out, and God is their deliverer, and they are finding such freedom in Christ. That's what Jesus does for us. He frees us. So we just thank you, Lord, for the evidence of being in the kingdom of freedom. Amen? Hallelujah. So freedom isn't the ability to do what I want. Freedom is about freeing and liberating us. It's the ability to do what's right. Because what does the word say? We were once slaves to sin. But now we're a child of God and we're free. So it's also an enablement of God to live as Jesus lives. I don't know about you, but I want to live as Jesus lived. Come on, when you think about the life of Jesus, he went around and healed the sick. He went around and proclaimed the kingdom of God. He went around and touched people. He saved people. He restored people. He brought hope to people. He brought peace to people. He brought joy to people. That's what I want to be. I want to live as Christ lived, right? And we can do that because the kingdom of God is in us. Amen. As we accept Jesus Christ, we accept his kingdom in us. Amen. And that's empowering for us to know that it's an enablement. Grace, you know, grace, we sometimes say, well, it's unmerited favor, which it is. We don't deserve, we don't earn our salvation. It's totally because of the grace and wonderful grace of God. But also grace is power. Grace is enablement to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, to walk out those things that God decrees and has destined for our life, that we can walk in righteousness and in peace and in joy and in power. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So it's the most freeing and liberating thing in the world because actually we get to become all that we were designed to become. See, God had a design for you. I always tell people at Teen Challenge, it says, you didn't come from your mama or your papa. You came from God. God sent you here. God gave you destiny. It wasn't, you were not an accident. You were here for a purpose and a plan of God. Amen? And so we need to discover who God made us to be. And you know what? I don't want to be anybody else. You know, sometimes people compare people. There's no comparison in the kingdom. We all have gifts, talents. We all have callings and anointings that each one of us has that God wants to use for the glory of his kingdom. We don't want to compare, you know, this person has that. I mean, I can admire what God's doing in a person and respect that and say praise God for them to do that. But I also know that it's important what God's calling me to do, that God wants to give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what he has for us to do, because God has a purpose for you. God has a plan for you. You know, I always say, as long as you have this breath in your lungs, you got purpose and you got destiny. And God takes you from one thing to the other. You know, I don't care how many obstacles the enemy tries to set. It will never, never overcome the destiny and the purpose God has for you. Don't let it. And I know a lot of you sometimes, I can speak for myself too, we get discouraged or we get let down or whatever, but just hang on to Jesus. Run to Jesus. Don't run away from Jesus. Just go to the Lord and he will strengthen you. It's so important to seek his kingdom and his righteousness, as the word says. Seek first. Isn't that funny how he says first? Not funny, but true. We seek first the kingdom of God and all who he is. It's interesting. He says we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I think that's really important, that we seek his righteousness, because it says in the word too, righteousness and justice are the very foundations of his throne. So if they're foundational for Jesus, for a throne for him to sit on, so it is foundational for us to understand righteousness. It says in Romans 14, 17, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Wow. Come on. So you just think about righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. You know, two-thirds of what he said, joy and peace, are felt realities. We can feel peace. We can feel joy. And sometimes, you know, don't let anybody, dumb you down to emotions, that we can have emotions, but we can't let our life be governed by them. But emotions are designed to be able to perceive and actually recognize God. Haven't you had that, where you felt the presence of God, you felt joy bubbling up, you felt like the peace of God in the midst of the storm? You can enter into the peace of God and know that he is with you. So a pathway to great emotional healing and health is to be able to rejoice. What does the Lord say? Rejoice, and again, I say rejoice. Rejoicing is a breaker. Joy is a breaker, for the joy of the Lord is our strength, right? And so it starts with a choice. It starts with you willingly choosing joy. And sometimes we get caught up, but joy is our strength. As we enter in, that joy is part of entering into the kingdom. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. He wasn't just adding it to the subject line. He was emphasizing something. He was emphasizing a special emphasis on righteousness. Isn't that interesting? He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He didn't say, and his joy. He didn't say, and his peace. He said, his righteousness. I just thought about that for a minute. How important is that, if he emphasizes righteousness, because everything really flows out of his righteousness. Righteousness is so important, because you know, we can settle back and say, well, I'm in Christ and he sees me as righteous, which is true, because we are the righteousness of Christ, right? When we accept Jesus, we accept his righteousness. It's not our righteousness, but it's his righteousness that makes us born again, that brings us into the kingdom. So we are the righteousness of Christ. We're no longer a slave, but also in righteousness, you know, it's his intent for us to become in conduct what I am in position. I am positioned in the righteousness of God, but faith without works is dead, right? There's something that he wants to show his righteousness through how we live our lives. So it's important. And it's not that you have to be perfect. Can I say that? That we don't have to be perfect. We just have to trust God for his goodness, for his righteousness. righteousness to be evident as we walk out our life. So grace, his grace, by grace, he empowers us and enables us to live like Jesus. Grace doesn't give us permission to violate what God requires of us, though, right? So it's coming into that grace that empowers us to live like God and to be as you know, as we are, you know, born again and representing Jesus well, right? So it's about his intent for us to live out that and to be Christ-like. So, but thank God that his grace is sufficient. Even when our failings, it's not, he doesn't cast us aside. He understands who we are, and he encourages us and strengthens us, right? He builds us up. You know, I will say that, as the scripture said, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:1. It does say that we don't have to receive any condemnation, but isn't that how the enemy works? Come on. Did you ever felt the condemnation from the enemy? And it was just to discourage you and beat you down? Come on. But not God. God says no. God says he doesn't beat you down. He wants you to shape up, and he'll bring conviction. There's a difference between conviction and condemnation. And it's all because of the love of God for you, because he knows that you haven't maybe fulfilled all the things that he's already seen in you. He sees the potential in you to be a glory carrier of God. And so, wow, that is just not some small thing, that we are Christ in the earth to bring forth his glory. We are transformed by his glory, like we sing, but it's for a purpose. And it's not just to get things and be a happy Christian and be comfortable, because there are days where there might not be that, you know, that we're not comfortable, but we can enter in to the peace of God that passes all understanding, which is part of his kingdom. We can enter into the peace of God. The kingdom of God is about living in the realm of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so we need to understand that we live by the power of the Holy Spirit. We walk by faith and not by sight. The righteous shall walk by faith and not by sight. You know, so often, I know, I just like recently was reading something, and it really struck me how we can have a deaf and dumb spirit. And what I mean by that, we're not hearing what God says. What does the word say? I mean, I just go back to my very foundation, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if we don't hear the word of God, how can we receive the revelation, and how can we act on it if we don't hear? So revelation is so important for us to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Let me say, there's many voices out there, right, crying and clamoring for our attention, but this has got to take priority. What the word of God says, if I didn't have this, what can I stand on? This word is so powerful. But, you know, sometimes we leave it dusty on the end table. We don't pick it up. We forget that these words are spirit and they're life to us. So I encourage you to get in the word. Get a Bible study or a Bible reading guide or whatever to discipline yourself to come into that. I know there's so many times we can say, well, I've been a Christian a long time. I've read this. I know that, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? Sometimes the Holy Spirit will breathe new life on a scripture, and you will see things you hadn't seen before, because our God is inexhaustible. He does so many things that we can't put him in a box. God wants to show himself to you in a powerful way. You know, how many names of God are there in the Bible? I can't even count how many names. And they're all representation of who he is. I am the healer. I am your shalom, your peace. I'm your Jehovah Jireh, your provider. I mean, all these names. And yet we haven't even, I always feel like, I've been saved a long time, but I always feel like I've just scratched the surface of some things. But God is calling us to go deeper. God is calling us to deep things right now, because we're going to need to go deeper in these times, because we can't have surface Christianity. We're going to have to go deep and dig deep into who God is and who we are, because these are foundational for us to know. When everything is shaking, I stand on who God is. I stand on who I am in Christ because of what he did on the cross. This is what we are going to have to understand and live by. We can't be surface Christians, casual Christians, because that's not what Jesus died for. To be just, hi, how you doing? I mean, he wants to reveal a whole bunch of things. You know, he wants to show you. It says in the word, he wants to show you the mysteries and the secrets of the kingdom. He says he doesn't share this, with anybody, but he shares this with his friends, which we are. And just to get the understanding of that we are friends of God. Come on. I mean, I don't know. I get blown away by that kind of thing because I don't take it lightly. I don't take it for granted. These are things God wants for us to experience and to live in. So I just thank God that I pray this will cause even an awakening in the church, that we would not have a deaf and a dumb spirit, that we would not our ears to God, that he would open our understanding, because you can't speak what you don't hear. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it's so important. So the kingdom, it says, it is not eating or drinking, it's righteousness. Okay, what is righteous? It's right standing with God. It's his nature becoming my very own nature. To me, that is a mystery and a secret that I carry the very nature of God. Sure, we might not understand that fully, but you know what? Everything comes by faith. If we had to understand everything, we might not receive anything, because if I have to try to understand with this, it can be a block, right? Because there's so many things about God. There's so many things in his word that we can't understand, but we can admire and we can adore, because God is, supersedes our intelligence, right? And it's not to be anti-understanding, because I believe he wants to understand, but sometimes it takes faith just to believe what God said. What God spoke. And so it's just like, I don't understand it with this, but I receive it with this. And it's our hearts. Our hearts, are they good ground to receive what the Lord has spoken? So the kingdom of God is not just eating and drinking, you know, those things that we get, the things that we participate in this world, but it's righteousness, it's peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. And, you know, salvation isn't just forgiveness of sins, but salvation, also the word salvation means sozo. Have you heard of that word sozo? And sozo appears in the New Testament about 100 times. It's actually deliverance, healing, and forgiveness. It's really all three, and they're meant to be incorporated in this message about the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is healing. The kingdom of God is deliverance. It says that healing and deliverance are the children's bread. It sustains us. And so we need to understand there's more. It's God's desire for physical, inner healing, deliverance, and salvation. I believe, and we believe, in the miracles of God. In 1 Timothy 4:4, it says, God desires all men to be saved. Okay, in the Greek, it says sozo there. Saved, healed, delivered, to be made whole, and to come to the knowledge of truth. Come to the knowledge of truth. The revelation knowledge of God, of understanding, accepting by faith what he's done on the cross, that he set me free to live in freedom. And that's how the kingdom works. So it's a message of the kingdom of God, healing and deliverance. So Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, joy, and the Holy Ghost. So the kingdom of God is righteousness, which is an answer to the sin problem, right? Taking on his righteousness. He was made sin so we could become the righteousness of God. What a great exchange. What a great exchange. How about the kingdom of peace is God's answer to the torment problem? the kingdom of peace. You know, it's a strategy. The peace of God is a strategy. It's also a weapon. I don't know about you. There's been many times when I feel shaken about something. Maybe we got a bad report. Maybe we're concerned about our job. Maybe we're concerned about our family. And we get into the uncertainty of things and the anxiety of things. But the Lord comes. It's a weapon, the weapon of peace. The peace, the shalom of God comes in our spirit, touches our spirit so that we don't have to be tormented, but we can enter into the peace of God, which is a weapon. Which is a weapon we use, that when we enter into the peace of God and know that He knows the beginning and the end of all things, we can enter that peace and put our full trust in Him, the God that loves us, the God that is faithful, the God that is all-powerful, the God that will is my keeper. He's not only my Savior, He's my keeper. And He keeps me. So when there's uncertain times, He can bring His shalom to me, His peace. So often just something that I do is when I feel that anxiety, I just put my hand over my heart and I say, just Lord, give me peace. Let my heart be still. And there's something that actually happens to me when I do that. I enter into that peace. It's a good thing because there's so many things that wants to rile us, torment us, and not give us peace in this world. What did He say about peace? We will not find it in the world. But His peace is our strength and is part of our kingdom. And also the kingdom of joy, which is God's answer to the sickness problem, because laughter is like good medicine. You know, joy is what gives us strength, as I referred to also, that when we enter into rejoicing, there's something breaks the hopelessness, right? When we enter into joyfulness and praising and rejoicing. It says rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Why? Because it's such a key for us. It's part of the kingdom to enter into the joy. You know, I find that so often these things try to weigh us down. But when we enter joy, joy sometimes just breaks it. It breaks the oppression. It breaks the depression. It breaks those things that try to keep us captive and in an old mindset. And so God wants us for us to enter into the kingdom. We are in the kingdom. But the awakening of what that means as we live out our daily life, that it is the power of God, but it's also our peace, our joy, and our righteousness. Amen? Wow. So in Matthew 12:28, Jesus again expressed what the kingdom of God is. He said, but if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. He was dealing with Pharisees and not understanding the kingdom of God. But he was saying here, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon me. And in my Passion Translation, it also says, on another translation, on the other hand, if I drive out demons by the power of the Holy Spirit, then the end of Satan's kingdom has come. Wow. Come on. Come on. Amen. So Jesus is the eternal Son of God, right? And He cast out demons because who He was, because He chose to live, though. He chose to live, get this, He chose to live as a Spirit-filled man. He laid down His capacity, as it says in Philippians 2, I believe it is, where it talks about He gave up, His rights, that He came down and became a man so that He could be an example. He restricted His own capacity to deal with the enemy. Instead, He picked up the anointing that we all have because we are a spirit. And so he did this according to the Spirit of God that which was upon Him, right? And so this is what we can do also. Is it's our responsibility to bring forth the kingdom. You know, we have to know that we are empowered to bring forth the kingdom of God. And so when we see somebody, you know, that maybe needs encouragement, or someone needs, you know, to be set free, someone needs to be saved, it's like it's our responsibility to show them the kingdom of God, which are those things, salvation, healing, deliverance, that we can bring it. We can bring the kingdom because the kingdom of God is within us. And seeking first the kingdom of God should have immediate application. Seeking first the kingdom of God has a measurable outcome. So Jesus illustrates this. You know, he says, if I cast out the demon by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God comes to you. So we see that there is a superior kingdom, don't we, in the scripture, that there is a superior kingdom which we are in, that we move from, that we, you know, that we enter in, and it collides with an inferior kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, right? And so, but we have power over that. So to seek the kingdom, you know, where there's torment, we can speak God's peace, right? Because that's part of the kingdom. You know, if there's someone needs healing, we can speak joy and healing. Where there's addiction or sin issues, what is God's answer? It's righteousness that would come because it would change our nature to his. So we thank God for that. We thank God for his kingdom that is alive in us. We thank you, Lord, for that. And so the Lord did not leave us powerless, but full of the power of the kingdom of God. And you know, my desire is desiring that you understand where we are positionally in Christ, who we are in Christ, who God is for us, that we should never feel like a victim, that we're empowered by Christ because we are part of the kingdom. And he's given us keys for the kingdom, right? In Matthew 16, 19, let me just read that. And this will be my last scripture, Matthew 16. Whew. Wow. I love this scripture because it has so much in it. So much Jesus gave us. He gave us power and authority. Why are we living underneath the privileges and what he died for us to have? It's because we don't maybe enter in. We don't believe. But I break that off right now, that we can enter into everything that he's given us. So it says here, let me just start with 13, just to kind of give a backdrop to that. Because it's when Jesus, I'll just read it from 13, Matthew 16, 13. When Jesus came to Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples this question: what are the people saying about me, the Son of God? Who do they believe I am? Interesting. I think that's a question God is asking us. Who do we think Jesus is, right? And they answered, some convinced you are John the Baptist, others say you are Elijah incarnated, or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But you, who do you say that I am? Interesting. He says, but well, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am, Deb? Who do you say I am, Veronica? He's asking us, who do you say I am? And this response was so amazing. Simon Peter spoke up and said, you are the anointed one, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, you are favored and privileged, Simon, son of Jonah, right? He started affirming him about that. For you didn't discover this, though, on your own, but my Father in heaven has supernaturally revealed it to you. I gave you the name Peter, a stone, and this is true of who I will be, the bedrock foundation on which I will build my church, my legislative assembly, and the power of death will not be able to overcome it. And he says, I will give you the keys of heaven's kingdom realm to forbid on earth that which is forbidden in heaven and to release on earth that which is released in heaven. Wow. Binding and loosing. This is the weapons that God gave us. He said he's given us power through the Holy Spirit that we would be witnesses. He said that he would give us his divine power. In 2 Peter 1:3 says, as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and goodness through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory and virtue. And so, we are so loaded up and empowered by Holy Spirit that we should never look at a situation as hopeless, because he's given us all things. I don't care what we see, right? Faith cometh by hearing, but what are we hearing? What is God saying? Are we being led by what we see? Because it says the just shall live by faith, by hearing what the Spirit of God is. Revelation, we need divine revelation of what God is doing in the earth. I don't know about you, but sometimes I just stop and say, okay, something's happening. I go, Father, what are you doing right now? What are you doing right now? Because I don't want to go off on my own emotion and try to figure it out mentally. I want to hear through the Spirit. And this is what God does. He speaks spirit to spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. So instead of getting entangled in emotions, I have to say, Father, what are you saying? What do you want me to know? What do I need to see right now? I think that's, we do that because otherwise we can get caught up in whatever circumstances we're in, right? But Jesus walked this earth. He walked out the kingdom to reveal the reality of another world and to shape this one. And he wants to do it through us. We have an assignment. We are the church. Yes, we are not a church building. We are the church. And the church is advancing and moving. The church was built by Jesus Christ, given us weapons, given us things to advance his kingdom. And we get this whenever we learn to seek out his presence. We need to learn and recognize what the Spirit of the Lord is saying and what he is doing in that moment. We learn in times of worship. This is why we have an extended worship, is to give ourselves completely to him. I don't know about you, but sometimes we're running in here and we got a zillion things on our mind, right? And we have other things that have tried to bog us down within circumstances. But when we give ourselves, I mean really give ourselves, it's not just like worship isn't singing songs. Worship is coming into the presence of God. I mean, the presence of God is in us, but in the atmosphere of corporate worship, we come in to exalt him. And when we find that place, just like David did, I think it's in Psalm 73, where when he was downcast and he went into the sanctuary and he started worshiping the Lord, then he knew what was going to happen to his enemies. He didn't fear. He entered into the presence of God. So in that place of yieldedness and surrender, we come exposed to the very presence of God. We start learning things we didn't know, you know, because we need to learn things at a spirit man level. We need to perceive things. We need to seek first the kingdom of God like never before. So I just decree that Lord is going to give us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, what the Father is saying to us, his beloved sons and daughters. He wants to reveal the kingdom in the earth, the kingdom of Jesus through us, his church, his ecclesia, his bride. Amen. So So, Father, I just thank you. I thank you, God, that we would get a new revelation of what it is to live in the kingdom of God. That, Father, our kingdom that we live in is unlimited. It's unshakable. And that, Father, we always are victorious in your kingdom. Your kingdom always, always wins. And so, Father God, I thank you. I thank you for breaking off any hopelessness in this room right now. That, Father, that things can't change, that things can't be different. But, God, I thank you that you transform us by your glory. You give us a new way, that all things are new today, Father, as we just receive you as our personal Lord and Savior. And if you've never did that, if you never accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, and you would like to, just let us know. We would pray for you. But we want to also pray at your tables, or if you have a situation that you need encouragement and that you need to have agreement, because there's power in agreement in prayer, that you want to see the kingdom of God be manifested in a certain way through healing or your family, just let's come in agreement as we pray for one another this morning. And so, Father, I just thank you for what you're doing. I thank you, God, that we live in the unshakable kingdom, that we are secure in you, that, Father, you've given us power and authority. Authority, you've given us permission. You've given us power to be able to advance your kingdom. And we say, do it, Lord, through your people, through your church this morning, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.